Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. You Catholic girls start much too late. All the sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well will be the one. Well, they showed you a statue, told you to pray. They built you a temple and locked you away. Ah, but they never told you the price that you pay. The things that you might have done. Only the good die.
Hi everyone, this is Dr. Michael Walden. Welcome to Ask the Blood Detective. My name is Dr. Michael Walden. For those of you who are new to the show, I'm the supervisor of longevity health at Integrated Nutrition, which is a nutrition and general health office located in Mount Kisco, New York, which is about an hour north of New York City. Now, all of the Ask the Blood Detective shows I've designed as entirely practical. So I generally set the tone of the show by giving you some background about the topic. And the topic for today, by the way, is healthy living. I'll be speaking about how you age as a human being and how you should eat and other healthy lifestyle choices you might want to consider so that your body ages more favorably, meaning that you suffer from less fatigue, you might have better memory and energy, less joint pain, or get rid of your joint pain, become more fit, and do this in a smart way. You know, some of you are thinking, well, I know how to eat, I know how to exercise, but I am going to challenge you about that concept because I've been doing natural health and nutrition for nearly 27 years, and there's a lot of general information out there that sounds good on the surface, such as eating lots of fruits and vegetables and drinking pure water, exercising, etc. But the way in which an individual needs to do those things for their particular health problems and genetics and whether or not you're on medications or you exercise too much or too little or just enough, all of these factors come into figuring out what you need as an individual. So there's not a whole lot of talk about how an individual needs to eat and live for their health and longevity. There's just a lot of general information out there, and a lot of it is right, but needs to be adjusted for you, for the individual. So it doesn't matter if you're feeling perfectly well now, or if you have certain health issues that you'd like to get rid of. In either case, please accept the basic premise that healthy diet and lifestyle, and probably the use of nutritional supplements, such as different types of herbs, vitamins and minerals, and paying some attention to what's called the macro nutrition in your diet, the proteins, the carbs, the healthy fats, all matter because most disease and dysfunction are either caused by nutritional problems or at the very least, health problems result in nutritional inadequacies. Think of it this way. To maintain your body's general health, that takes a bit of energy. It takes a bit of nutritional energy. And when an individual does not eat enough of the right sorts of things and does not live in a way that supports their particular needs, the body slowly breaks down. So that's our first concept for today. How does that breakdown happen? I've done a more detailed show on this in the past called How Disease Happens, which you can find on my blog on my website at blooddetective.com. And by the way, for those of you who get different show ideas or interests that you have that you'd like to relay to me so I can discuss them on the show, I'm happy to do that. Just send me an email at info@blooddetective.com. So info@blooddetective.com is my email. Send your show topic, say hello. And blooddetective.com is the website. If you go to the blog, you'll see lots and lots of radio shows. At the end of the show, I'll give my contact information again for you. So we're talking about, briefly here, how disease happens. Most disease simply does not happen overnight, although on occasion it seems that it does. What I mean is this. Have you ever had a health problem like high cholesterol or high blood pressure, or your metabolism just seemed to just change? Well, the changes that you're seeing have likely occurred because over a period of either months or even years, sometimes even decades, Your body loses its ability to regulate itself. It loses what's called homeostatic regulation. And homeostasis would be the ideal balance of the body where the degenerative changes in the body are being met by the regenerative phases of the body. So one could say, and research and certainly my 27 years of experience has shown, that by the time you experience any symptom at all, generally, well, really always, I'd have to say, this is the one exception to the always rule, your body is going through its efforts to manage dysregulation or imbalance, and then when it cannot meet it, you then develop symptoms. So symptoms really, whether it's a headache or a cold or hormonal imbalances or cancer, heart disease, high blood pressure, high blood sugar, you name it, chronic inflammation, autoimmune disease, these things that just seem to show up one day, they tend to have started with small changes that were not managed that led to big changes. So how can we interfere with that process? Can we, in fact, interfere with what I would call an abnormal aging process? You know, most of us, in my opinion, do not age normally, and we've learned to accept that certain diseases and limitations, such as joint issues and energy and memory, for example, and any other changes in the body, gaining weight, are a consequence of aging. Well, they may certainly, these symptoms and health problems, and plus many others you're thinking of right now, are happening with your aging, but I would suggest to you that they're happening concurrently with your aging. They're not caused by your aging, or at least not a normal aging process. So the first concept to keep in mind is that many of us have accepted our physical limitations, our health problems, as being because we're just getting older. And sometimes our doctors reinforce this because they themselves are individuals with these symptoms and they have not found solutions. But I can tell you that when you follow certain lifestyle changes, and this is important, if you go a couple of steps beyond to figure out what your individual needs are, dietarily, nutritional, supplement-wise, exercise, stress management, happiness, and all these different ways, that will allow you to age much better. Aging better, your better aging means at least this, that you should live longer, but within what is known as, to scientists, the non-disability stage of life. In other words, a more functional way of being where you get to participate and enjoy life the way that you need to because you do not have physical limitations that are preventing you from fully experiencing life. You know, people are living longer these days, statistically speaking, but here's the caveat. People are living longer and suffering from more disease, so their quality of life is a lot lower. You know, in medicine, the term that we have is disease clusters. A person has multiple conditions at once. They have high cholesterol, high blood pressure, high blood sugar. They have fatigue. Their hair is falling out. They don't look as healthy. Their energy is affected. They have digestive problems. These and more. When we look at studies of people that eat differently and think differently in terms of their daily choices, they simply do not age like others. So let's talk about how we age for a moment. There are a couple of basic ideas in the sciences about how we age. And if you know just a little bit about these, you've just heard them before, you'll start to make healthier choices for yourself. So the whole concept of Ask the Blood Detective, the blood detective part, and I've said this before in my shows, is that you become your own advocate, your own blood detective. Now, that does not mean that you'll never need professional help from someone like myself or someone similar that knows nutrition and knows how to figure things out for individuals. But it does mean that you'll know enough to ask the right questions, to do the right amount of research on your own, and to make daily changes that you know are supporting you, because as you start to feel well, you'll know that certain, let's say, abnormalities in your laboratory work that your doctors ignored or that your doctors simply did not find are managed because you understand them to a certain point. Now, for those of you who are not interested in learning such details about how to read your blood work, that's okay. For those of you who would simply just trust that if you find a clinical nutritionist that has the license to be able to read laboratory work, by the way, then they will do it for you in partnership or a combination. You either get someone to help you, you do a lot of the work yourself, and I do have a radio show all about laboratory work on my blog at blooddetective.com that you can listen to more. So I was mentioning the different ways in which scientists believe that we age. One of the ways as we age is that our hormone levels decline in almost every area. So what happens is that as we reach a certain age, and this does vary from individual to individual, but generally speaking, you want to be aware that your adrenal hormone called DHEA, not DHA, that's an omega-3 fish oil, but DHEA, dehydroepianoic acid, declines at around age 30. Now, an individual may not feel or know that the hormone level is declining, but as it declines, the body simply ages. What happens is the brain slowly over the course of time, without having the DHEA to repair itself, starts to age, lose neurons, memory can be affected, overall energy, spunk, which we call in the scientific circles, a general sense of well-being declines. Your risk of all manner of autoimmune disease and the basic top killers of people in the United States, such as diabetes, osteoarthritis, cardiovascular disease, hypertension, lupus, MS, thyroid problems, you name it. All of these conditions go up as DHEA levels go down. Now, I'm not telling you to go run into the health food store and buy DHEA. In fact, I would advise you not to try most of the things that I'm mentioning on today's shows, because some of these things may not apply to you, or they need to be applied to you with the health, or help, I should say, of a health professional. So that's my disclaimer for the show. Always, always seek out someone to help you if you have one or more persistent health problems that you want to manage correctly. Okay? Now, secondly, so I mentioned DHEA hormone. This is a hormone that I do prescribe to my patients very carefully. The amount of it is based on a lot of factors. The other hormone which declines is called pregnenolone. It sounds like progesterone, and they are related somewhat in chemical structure, but they're not the same hormone. Both DHEA, by the way, and pregnenolone are known in the sports industries to be enhancers of athletic performance. When athletes take these hormones and others, they're hitting, 50 baseballs a season, and they're lifting tremendous weights. Now, you may not be interested in anything like that, but basically the body will heal better. The body requires pregnenolone and DHEA to build up tissues as they age. And if you do not have enough of these hormones, or you do not have the amount that you need, meaning there is a normal amount of these hormones, your doctor can look at your blood work and say, hey, wait a minute, your pregnenolone, your DHEA, your growth hormone, your estrogens, your testosterone, all of those hormones, they are normal on your testing. I would ask you to take pause when you hear that statement and you're told your hormones are normal. First thing, as a personal blood detective, your own personal blood detective, that you need to be mindful of is, when your doctor says to you that your blood work is normal, what they really are saying is that your blood work is average when you're compared to other men or women your age. So as a person gets older, the height or the range widens in most cases, or in many cases, on hormones. So, and in other cases, as you age, certain hormone levels on the blood are smaller, meaning it might be expected that if you're 50 years old, that a normal DHEA or pregnenolone level for you is expected to be much lower than when comparing you to, let's say, a 20 or 30-year-old. So if we accept the concept, which is true, that as you age, it's expected that you'll have lower hormones. They're now your new normal, but they aren't your best normal. Because if you had hormone levels or nutrient levels or your blood work in general that looked like your younger version of yourself, hopefully you're a healthier younger version of yourself, then that's where you want your lab work to be. Now you might say, well, that makes a lot of sense. Why would I want to compare myself to the aging population that has more disease and disability and then have a doctor tell me my lab work is normal because it compares myself to this group? Well, I would suggest you would not want to accept that at face value. The healthcare system in the United States is really a misnomer. We do not have, in my view, a healthcare system. We really have a disease care system. I mean, just look at how the medical system operates. And this really isn't meant to be a criticism, just a fact of what you experience. People, when they don't feel well, when they have dysfunction or disease, or they have outright disease, they then make the medicine available to themselves and they visit their physicians. And most people, when they're feeling well, and certainly people that want to improve their health, don't tend to see doctors unless they have symptoms. So I am a 51-year-old man who was given a diagnosis of MS, multiple sclerosis, when I was 18. And as a 51-year-old man now, because I grew up in a household where my father, who was a doctor and nutritionist, really knew. I mean, he really knew as a chiropractic doctor and a nutritionist how to help me improve my health. So at 51, I've run several marathons fast. I lift weights. I do martial arts. I do not have any physical limitations. Some of my friends might say I have mental ones, but I'm just kidding. But having said that, my father taught me to compare my health and my sense of well-being and my laboratory work to younger people. And by moving my laboratory work there, this is a story he told me, what one of the things he did to help me get healthy, is why I attribute much of my tremendous level of health today. So if you are not feeling well, and you have visited your doctors, and you have been told that your lab work is essentially normal, think again. Your doctors are coming from a disease care model. They are intelligent people. They are well-meaning people. But the perspective is from a disease care model. It's no different than if you were, let's say, we're interested in paintings, let's say, of the 20th century, famous 20th century painters. Different people looking at the same artwork. You know what I'm going to say, right? Different people looking at the same artwork have very different opinions about it. We filter what we're seeing through our own personal filters, which do change over time. So your physicians are filtering what you tell them, your symptoms. Their fundamental education is from disease care using medications, drugs, and surgery. And if you could adapt for a moment a preventative healthcare perspective, an optimal health perspective, you might be differently critical of that piece of artwork or your laboratory work or how you feel. So I know that with myself, I have certain goals and certain goals for my patients, and you have certain health goals yourself, which possibly some other people may not understand because maybe you either exercise more than them or you watch your diet more than them or you might take supplements. And some of you listening to this don't do any of those things. You don't do those things because you have not gained a certain perspective that would make you change your daily behaviors to match. That's not a wrong thing necessarily. I'm just trying to state that if you want a superior level of health, if you want to prevent or offset or delay the onset of any disease so that you age better, you have to start thinking in those terms. And then as you think in those terms more and more, your daily habits will adjust to match. Okay, so I've mentioned that one of the ways that you age as a human being is through hormones declining in our blood. And I mentioned some of those hormones, DHEA, pregnenolone, estrogens, testosterone. And in holistic healthcare, the way I practice it, we are trained that the diet and exercise and certain nutritional supplements can and will help to balance hormones. We don't necessarily want to just take these hormones, even if they're deficient, because we sometimes want to have the body improve its ability to make hormones. And that can be done through certain natural healthcare efforts, which I'll be speaking about throughout the show. The first one being eating lower down on the food chain is, generally speaking, the most healthy way to live. Meaning eating more like a vegan or a vegetarian. I'm not suggesting that you have to be that strict, but I don't know you. And sometimes, by the way, and this is a good thing, when I meet with patients who are, they're afraid, really. They get stressed out at the thought of changing their dietary intake so much. Oftentimes, I can make very specific changes that are easy to do. And then we add nutritional supplements and food concentrates to maximize it. So, for example, studies have shown that to reduce your overall risk of morbidity and mortality, one would need to eat upwards of 10 pieces of fruits and vegetables a day. Who can do that? I know I can't. But what we can do is we can consume concentrated superfoods. So I developed, and you can find these on my website if you'd like to try them, 4 products, easy to remember. They're called Detox 1, 2, 3, 4. And Detox is spelled D-T-O-X. So Detox 1, 2, 3, 4. So in short, they're superfoods, which means they are dehydrated food concentrates. So if you had 2 or 3 bowls of vegetables in front of you, and you know you can't eat that much in a day, which scientifically it's been shown that you would age a lot better if you could do that, well then if you remove the water from those, if you dehydrated them, under low heat, by the way, so you don't kill the live enzymes which we need for health too, then you have powdered concentrated superfoods. So the Detox 1, 2, 3, 4 products of mine, I generally place every one of my patients on them because we all need the basic foundation of healthy fruits and vegetables. Each of those has a color to them, green, orange, red, purple, due to the concentrations of the specific types of plant foods I put in them. So I generally have most individuals of normal weight take 1/2 of a scoop of each of these 4 detox products. They put them all together in a glass, they fill it with water, diluting it to taste. It tastes really great. Now, for those of you thinking, oh my goodness, no, fruit is evil, I heard that fruit is sugar and sugar is bad. Sugar is bad. I'd ask you to listen to my show called Sugar, The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly, though, where I distinguish what are the different types of sugar and which ones are bad for you. In short, sucrose and glucose found in processed pastries and foods and table sugar, that is generally bad. But fruit sugar, which is fructose, within the context of a fruit with all of the thousands, maybe even tens of thousands of healthy plant elements called phytonutrients, and fibers and many other ingredients together make it very different to the body than simply having, let's say, fructose alone. So there is rarely an exception to that rule, but sometimes exceptions do exist, and that's why I do my blood detective work and I look at a person's chemistry. I ask them a bunch of questions about their health history. I have them fill out detailed forms called Blood Detective Longevity Questionnaire, so I can assess the whole body at once. So that's another perspective where we want to really not give lip service. I mean, healthcare, even natural healthcare often, will give lip service to teaching the individual. But I make it my main point in my clinical practice and in my life to determine what each person needs. And from time to time, we adjust their needs as they go through the aging process, hopefully the healthy aging process. Another way in which human beings age is called the oxidant theory of aging. It's really easy to remember because if you've ever left a piece of fruit, let's say, out on your counter or some food somewhere where maybe it shouldn't have been and it just started to rot. The rotting process is fermentation, but it's also oxidation. Like if you left a slab of butter out on your kitchen counter for 4 or 5 days, it would start to oxidize. So oxidation is the flame. And oxidation is the same thing as inflammation. That's a fair way of thinking about it. Now, some of you listening to this sort of show already have an idea that inflammation is a bad thing. Well, the long and short of it is inflammation does play a critical role for health and healing in the body. But when that beneficial process is extreme and or it lasts too long, then the body starts to break down. Every one of our cells, or tissues I should say, are made of cells. And every one of our cells have membranes around them and little organelles within them and structures. And when the body ages or gets disease, the oxidative level and process of inflammation increases. Our body breaks down. Now, depending on what are your weaker body areas, what happens is you get this or that disease or symptoms. Now, you've heard of antioxidants like vitamin E and selenium, vitamin C, and there are others. And many of you, in fact, might take these. But how do you know they're actually working? You need to understand, if you don't already, that just because you take something that's supposed to do a thing doesn't mean it's doing that thing. It's always best to check laboratory against detailed health questionnaires to figure out if what you're doing is actually working. The mind is a very powerful thing. And I have witnessed, again, over the course of my 27 years experience, that people will take their antioxidants or their hormones at the wrong doses or not enough of them, and they seem to get improvements. But then when you look back over time on their improvements, I often notice that these improvements were very short-lived, and they were not associated with changes in the body's blood work, chemistries, to prove that the feeling good is actually from what the person is doing, and not just you're randomly feeling better that week or a couple weeks or even month. So the point here that I'm making is we know that there is the oxidant theory of aging in human beings, which causes disease, but there's also this hormone decline theory. Now, these different theories of how we age, and there are others. Some of you may have heard of the telomere shortening theory, which simply means that your chromosomes, which are like where all your cellular intelligence are on, there's a tail called a telomere. And as you age, the tail gets shorter and shorter and shorter. And the shorter it gets, the shorter your life. Several nutrients, by the way, in scientific studies have been shown to reduce shortening of the telomere. Some of those supplements are vitamin D, A, zinc. There are several others. And again, you simply don't want to rush out and take these supplements because supplements can cause harm too when not taken correctly. So what I generally teach my patients is that we look at the lab work, we measure different blood tests called oxidant measurements to see how much oxidative stress is this individual under. And then when we give them the right dietary and supplement choices, that helps us determine if what we're doing is working because we can see the laboratory values of these oxidant tests declining. If the hormone levels are low, or as I mentioned earlier, the hormone levels might not be optimal, meaning There may be a better place within the normal range for someone your age that your hormone should be in. But hormone doctors, the endocrinologists, they really are not interested in that. You don't have to take my word for it either. If you ask your endocrinologist, if you even have one, if you by the time you get to a doctor like that, I mean, you've really gone through a lot of other doctors. You might ask your OB, your obstetrician. My point is this. If you have labs that show your hormones are in the normal range, your doctors will not mention that issue to you, that is an issue to you. However, depending on the hormone and your circumstances, if your hormone levels were on the higher end of normal in some cases or on the lower end of normal in other cases, you might feel a whole ton better. And research is far ahead. It's always ahead of what's practiced in the healthcare office that day. It takes sometimes many years, even decades, an average of 50 to 75 years, depending on the statistic you read that I've come across that say, when something new is invented, by the time it's actually the standard of care in healthcare, roughly 50 or as high as 75 years have gone by. And the reason for that is a whole other show, perhaps. But suffice it to say for now that we know that we age in different ways, we oxidize, our hormones decline. We also have established during today's show that if we eat certain things, lower down in the food chain, more fruits and vegetables, less animal products or no animal products at all, we eat organically whenever possible, we avoid fried foods, processed foods, starches, possibly gluten, probably GMOs. And I've written a book on GMOs called Frankenfoods, The Dangers and Controversies of Genetically Modified Foods, by the way. You can see that on my website. That we could age better. Now, for those of you who are thinking or getting a little nervous, you know, I haven't done a lot of these things or I don't think I've done this right, not to worry. All you need to do is work with someone who has the knowledge and experience to help you catch up. Now, regardless of the way in which you are aging as an individual, you might, or I should say, most of us experience some very similar symptoms. So as the body ages, there's only so many ways it can show that aging on a very superficial level. So for example, if you're fatigued, you might be fatigued for lots of reasons. Maybe your nutrition intake is poor. Maybe you may not eat enough calories throughout the course of the day. Your calories may not be coming from the right balance of proteins, carbs, and fats. You might have outright deficiencies of different nutrients like vitamin D, or you might need a multivitamin, you might need vitamin C. My point is this. It can be figured out through testing and consultation what nutrition you need as an individual so that you don't have fatigue that doesn't seem to go away. Sometimes the fatigue is pretty obvious. It may be caused by an iron deficiency anemia in a woman due to her menstrual period, for example. If a man has iron deficiency anemia, it's always urgent to determine why that's happening, because sometimes it can be from a bleeding polyp in the colon, or it could be from internal hemorrhoids, for example, or cancers of different types. So fatigue should not be ignored. And when the body loses its general energy, it means something. If you perceive a loss of energy and you're fatigued and your sleep is not restorative, meaning that you wake up and you just simply do not feel that you've rested, this could be caused by any number of problems. Some of the problems I just mentioned, but fatigue is one of those aging factors that should alert you to look a little deeper. Okay, now, even if you're convinced that you know the cause of your fatigue, oh yes, your doctor said you're iron deficient. It might be that simple. But even iron deficiency anemia generally occurs with several other vitamin anemias that almost no physicians routinely check. And that's just a matter of sloppiness. So for example, deficiencies of vitamins B12 and folic acid, vitamin B6, and there are others. And remember what I said, if you've been told that your blood levels of these nutrients are normal, you might need them higher than normal or on the high end of normal. In the case of vitamin D, for example, this I hear all the time. It's very frustrating to me on behalf of my patients is that many patients say to me, yes, I asked for vitamin D or my doctor drew the vitamin D blood test and he or she said that I'm okay. My levels are 35. Or they might say to the patient, you're lower than 30 on the blood test. The range of vitamin D on a blood test, by the way, is 30 to 100. Now, you might be low, and your doctor may have said, oh, take some vitamin D. But that's not detailed enough advice. First of all, the lower your vitamin D level, the higher your risk of dying of anything, and the worse your quality and quality of life. That's what we mean when we say that vitamin D insufficiency, that means not having enough, but you're in the normal range, or just outright deficiency being low. The lower that is, the higher your overall morbidity mortality risk. Mortality obviously refers to death rate and risk, and morbidity is the quality of your life. So you really want vitamin D levels to be not just in the normal range, but in the upper end of the normal range, at around a 70. Now that's one very important nutrient, but there are lots of others. Not all nutrients are best checked in the blood, by the way. Sometimes there are just physical signs and symptoms that you might have that tell a clinician like myself what nutritional deficiencies or imbalances you have. So, for example, you might have dryness in the corner of your mouth, the creases of your mouth. That's commonly from a vitamin B2 deficiency. And vitamin B2 is required in the body, among other things, for energy production. Or you might have dry bumps on the back of your arms or just dry skin in general. And that might be because you have a low thyroid. Even if your blood work for your thyroid looks normal, you might need a new normal. Remember, a better place that your thyroid hormones need to be for you to feel well and for your skin to look better. However, sometimes these dry bumps that appear on the back of the arms are from either a vitamin A deficiency or a deficiency of thyroid hormone or vitamin A. Those are just three examples. Now, I provided, I believe, three different shows that are on my blog at blooddetective.com that discuss all sorts of physical and visually accessible things that you can see on yourself or when you're looking at other people that will immediately give you insight to nutritional deficiencies of different types. Now, the visual signs, I'll give you a few more, like hair loss in women, maybe an autoimmune problem might represent a zinc deficiency. And yes, you can try biotin, as many of you have heard and tried, but it doesn't work, right? Because one nutrient won't work by itself. You need to know what you need to know in terms of your nutritional needs. But when it comes to things like hair loss, for example, or brittle hair, brittle nails, cavities. These are general signs of aging that commonly are associated with nutritional deficiencies of many types. But hair loss also can be, or any of the problems with those other tissues I just mentioned, brittle nails, cavities, for example, hair loss. They may be from protein deficiency. They may be from mineral deficiencies across the board. The thing that I have not mentioned yet is that as we grow older, we tend to not absorb the nutrition from our food as well as we did when we were younger. So nearly 60% of you listeners out there that are 50 years older and above have some measurable degree of what is called malabsorption. You may not have a disease of malabsorption like celiac disease, But basically, when your small intestinal tract ages, it does not absorb as well as it did when you were younger. So the basic premise here, the basic concept of today's show is this. If you want to help guarantee or to increase the probability of you aging better, living longer within the non-disability stage of life, you might actually live just longer too if that is a goal. I think most people want to focus on the quality, but why can't you focus on quantity and quality? Either way, if you acknowledge that aging is a process, aging is a continuum that occurs over time, if you want to have better health as you grow older and in the future, you cannot live and practice the same health practices today that you have been doing, you know, all your life, let's say. You need to change with the times. So how you do that is pretty simple. We can't rely only on how we're feeling, because by the time we don't feel well, the problems have happened. So for example, before you have the silent killer hypertension and get a stroke, you don't have a stroke. Your blood pressure increases, you don't feel it. Before people have heart attack from, let's say, clogging of the arteries that are related to cholesterol levels, before the cholesterol levels are elevated in the blood work and have clogged the arteries sufficiently for you to get a cardiovascular event, they are not that high. So in other words, you have to have a slow process of clogging of arteries that finally gets to a point where about 3/4 of the artery is clogged, then a person gets a symptom. Maybe it's not a heart attack. Maybe it's that they have swelling in their legs or they get tired very easily. All sorts of symptoms, some of which you know, most you probably don't, can show up and you just don't know what they mean. So I'm simply saying this. Yes, if you're eating well and you're exercising, you're taking some nutrients, that's all well and good. If you haven't clarified how these efforts of yours match your actual needs, that's your opportunity right there. And then from time to time in your life, maybe it's once a year, might be more frequently if you have some specific health problems, that you'd want to recheck certain laboratory tests and refill out certain questionnaires which help to quantify where your weak organs might be and problems before your problems become obvious problems. So I'm trying to emphasize here that, at least in my experience, a good amount of people in society do nothing about their health until they're sick. But it's important to take a moment from time to time to check under the hood. You know, people do, you've heard this analogy before, people tend to take better care of their car engines than they do their bodies. And again, for those of you thinking, I'm healthy, I'm feeling good, great. Check your labs just so that if things start to slip, and they will start to slip one day, that by the time that happens, you can make sure to manage them well, that they don't get ahead of you. So that's why I do my blood detective set of tests, which checks a variety of organ systems in the body and also some very just basic things. So I've mentioned so far that fatigue and brittle, dry hair loss, dry skin, for example, cracked nails, these may seem like superficial issues, but they often are reflective of deeper issues with organs, tissues, and glands, and their overall nutrition. I'll add another one, poor muscle strength or muscle tone or stamina. Again, all of these examples I'm giving you are signs of how the human body, how your body ages. But many of us, to reiterate what I've just said a little while ago, we accept these signs and symptoms as aging when really they're not aging. They're just happening with your aging because there are particular ways that you may not have focused on to take care of your health. So whether it's unexplained fatigue or hair loss or dry skin or poor muscle tone, or memory, or chronic health problems, your healing may simply be very, very slow. That these are the signs of aging that most doctors will say, hey, you know, just accept it. That you do not have to accept them. Yes, we all will age. We all will die of something. But we also have quite a bit of say as to how we age. And we can improve the probability of aging better with daily, manageable, healthy habits. So let's talk about some of these healthy habits. Now, I can only talk about these healthy habits in general terms because I don't know you. So, for example, we've heard that if you should drink plenty of, fluids throughout the course of the day, maintain good hydration. Well, what does that mean? Well, it may mean something different for different people. So laboratory work checks for hydration status, but other symptoms of dehydration might be dry skin, dry mouth, fatigue, even memory issues, loss of stamina and just general energy. So the amount of hydration that one individual should have compared to another individual might be very different depending on how that person is aging. The only guidance I can give you in a general sense about how much fluid intake you should have is you should drink water, let's say. That's the best fundamental fluid to take in, such that when you urinate, your urine is a light straw-colored. It should never be perfectly clear like water itself. But even if you do this, that doesn't guarantee you're well hydrated. And if you take certain nutrients, like a multivitamin, the multivitamin causes color changes in the urine. So all I can say for now is you want to try to hydrate yourself in the ways that I just suggested, drinking more water, eating plenty of fruit, which contain natural waters and electrolytes and all sorts of other great nutrition. When your cells are not well hydrated, they tend to age poorly. So it's important to, as a fundamental process of managing your aging, is attempt to have high content of fruits and vegetables in the diet, along with water. The other suggestion would be to eat a variety of those fruits and vegetables. People these days, for some strange reason, are reducing their fruit intake. Well, one of the strange reasons is because of the misunderstanding about whether or not fruit is healthy because it has sugar in it. And the answer is yes, it is healthy. Now, are there some of you out there that should not have certain fruits? Absolutely. That depends on you. Maybe your particular health problem involves food allergies. You know, food allergies are what I call the masquerader of many diseases. And the reason I say that is, a person can eat a piece of fruit, or any food for that matter, and if it's a true allergy, your immune system responds in an adverse way. And you might have joint pains from that symptom. You might have intestinal problems. You might have old injuries that are exacerbated for reasons that you did not know might be from an immune reaction triggered because of what you're eating. When you eat foods, you might have symptoms, allergic symptoms, right away, within a few minutes, a few hours, 2-3 days. Those are known as IgE allergies, or immediate allergies, right? They happen immediately. So if you go to your doctor and say, I want to be checked for immediate allergies, they'll know what you're talking about. But there are also delayed allergies, where you can eat things, and they cause disease over a long period of time. And believe it or not, most allergists do not check these things. Again, their perspective is simply different. But any food, even if it's said to be a healthy food for you, may or may not be. You can't know unless you check these types of tests. This may be a little bit too much information, but I'm going to risk it. Before you do allergy tests, because it makes sense, right? If you have any chronic complaint, okay, folks, any chronic complaint that you have not been given a satisfactory answer for, it might be allergies. But here's the caveat. If you have a lot of inflammation in your body, that can be checked too. Or if you just have a lot of symptoms, those are generated by inflammation. Food allergy tests might show a lot of false positives. Inflammation in the body makes food allergy testing often wrong. So it's important for someone trained in how to read laboratory work to create the order in which you do certain tests. Also, a very quick way, which with some reliability that you on your own can check if you have food allergies, is you simply eliminate the food and any other foods that are in the same food family. Okay, so if you're going to eliminate a regular potato, you want to eliminate a sweet potato as well. If you're going to eliminate nightshade plants, there's a good number of foods to eliminate. The point is, if you eliminate the suspected allergen for about 4 weeks, you will likely feel better. And then when you add it back, and you really want to do this under the supervision of someone who, a trained nutritionist, for example, or your doctor, if they're willing to do that. When you add the foods back, they might then exacerbate all of the symptoms you had before, and then you can know. But let's get back to some of these healthy lifestyle measures. We've talked about monitoring your fluid intake, which, again, as simple as that sounds, most people simply don't do it. You know, you might want to just set your smartphone to, like, remind you to eat a vegetable, eat a fruit. Here, it's time to take water. Just like these, our iPhones now can even tell us, you know, when it's time to stand up. We can use technology to our advantage. But other things to do when wanting to maintain your health or reach better health and make simple daily lifestyle health improvements are to add herbs to your diet. So use spices. Use paprika. Use garlic. Use onions. Use curcumin. Use cinnamon, for example. The list goes on and on. Now, I will say this, though. If you routinely add herbs to your diet over the course of many months to many years, they then have a benefit for you. But if you're going to use various herbs and spices just here and there, they're not going to add. I mean, you should do that because it makes food taste better, but you shouldn't expect that what you read in a book about what that herb can possibly do for your health is going to happen unless you take the herb the right way. I'll give you one example. Over the last couple of years, curcumin, which is an Indian spice, has been in the news quite a bit for its ability to treat cancer. But the amount of that herb to have that effect, at least according to some studies, were upwards of 8,000 milligrams. So 1 gram is 1,000 milligrams. And one way to think about that is we're told we need about 60 to 80 milligrams of vitamin C a day. We're talking 8,000-9,000 of curcumin. Now, there are ways of benefiting from high doses of herbs or vitamins and reducing their dosing way, way down so they're manageable if you combine them the right way. That's called nutritional synergism. And I've done a whole show on what that is, again on my blog at blooddetective.com. At the very least, and I'm happy to say that as of, and don't quote me on this, but as of about 10 years ago, the American Medical Association, the AMA themselves, came out with a statement where they showed that everyone should be taking a multivitamin. And when this study came out, and I believe it was The Lancet, it may have been the New England Journal of Medicine, it turned everything in medicine upside down as far as concepts of nutrition, because up to that point, the AMA had taught, and their official policies for physicians was that never recommend nutrients beyond the most extreme deficiencies, like iron deficiency or calcium deficiency. But that was all changed. And imagine if we actually take that advice, take a multi, but figure out how much we actually need and put together nutrients and foods so that we get what we need. Then we check our labs, we do some questionnaires every several months, we make slight changes. So that's it right there, folks. The way in which you improve and secure your health to continue to be as healthy as you can be, to keep you living longer in the non-disability stage of life, is to make small changes, make them consistently, but make sure they are based on you and not only how you're feeling, but what your blood work and other types of lab tests look like, and special what are called health appraisal questionnaires, which again are questionnaires that I use, which I put the information that you select from those questionnaires into a conversation. We put it all together, and that's how health is built. Some of you might be thinking, okay, well, what are these tests? Well, there are some basic tests that I consider for most people, so I'm going to list them for you now. But the test might grow, or the test might be shorter, depending on your health needs and goals and what you're willing to change and not change. I make sure to develop healing plans around my patients rather than sticking patients in my set protocols. I don't have set protocols. However, we'll want a complete blood count. We'll want a chemistry panel, a vitamin D level. We want to measure something called C-reactive protein, homocysteine, and those are the fundamental things, along with urine levels of vitamin C, calcium. We want to do malabsorption assessments on people. And I have done other shows that talk about labs in more detail, but I, again, sit down with an individual to figure out what labs they need. So, and generally, we might, again, as I've mentioned earlier, do hormonal tests. All of these things are figured out with a conversation. So I would invite you to perhaps listen to the show again or to listen to some of my other shows on laboratory testing. You can listen to The Sugar Show, which was called Sugar, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. If you want to learn more about hormones and how they might help your problems, you can listen to my nutritional endocrinology show. You do not have to remember any of these titles now. You simply go to blooddetective.com, look under the blog section, and just scroll down. You'll see all the shows. For those of you who, again, I would love your ideas, please email me at info@blooddetective.com. You can visit my regular website at www.integratednutritionny.com, which you can get, by the way, through the Blood Detective website. And Blood Detective is a lot easier to remember. So my email is info@blooddetective.com. For those of you who'd like to call me, perhaps you want to see me to work on your health, I would be happy to do that. I am accepting patients. My number is 914-552-1442. And listen out soon for my radio show where I'll be announcing, well, I'll announce it right here, that I'll be hosting a health presentation about the brain and how to keep it healthy while providing a organic, free, delicious breakfast at an event in my office. That'll be about mid-October. You're all invited. It's perfectly 100% free. You're going to have fun. You're going to learn a lot, and you're going to enjoy healthy organic foods, organic teas, organic coffees, gluten-free waffles, and organic fruit, and AAA organic grade syrup. It's going to be great. So again, my name is Dr. Michael Wald. You're listening to Ask the Blood Detective. Please tell your friends to listen to the shows too. If you miss any of the shows, they're always posted on my blog at www.blooddetective.com. My phone number is 914-552-1442. You have a wonderful day. Speak to you soon.
Have done.